Good morning, church. Today we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter number 29. If you would turn there, please, that will be our place for studying God's word this morning. Now, the last 2 weeks we've been in Exodus, but for today we're jumping forward three books to Deuteronomy, chapter number 29. And this is where we're going to find Israel at the plains of Moab, east of the Dead Sea. And we have this map for you to help you picture that. And as you can see, highlighted in red, way at the top, that is the plains of Moab. And now, you can kind of disregard that brown line that you squiggly that you see going around there. That's a proposed partial route that the Israelites may have taken during the last parts of their years in the wilderness. But for our purposes today, we're looking at that time when Israel was at the end of their journey through the desert. They're preparing to cross over the Jordan River, which you see highlighted in yellow there. They're ready finally to enter the land of Canaan. Now, Moses has been leading them for 40 years in the desert wilderness, and he knows he's soon going to die. God had revealed that to him. But it will be Joshua who then takes the reins and will lead the people literally across the Jordan River into the promised land. It is this monumental moment in Israel's history, and in that moment, Moses brings the people together to recall for them all that God has done to bring them to this point. And as Moses does that, he calls the people of Israel to renew their covenant with Israel, their covenant with the Lord, rather. Now, speaking of covenant, Stephanie and I have an upcoming wedding anniversary. In just a couple weeks, we'll celebrate what will mark 31 years since, on a hot Friday evening in July, just over in Bedford, we entered into covenant with one another and with the Lord. And as you see in this picture that we have for you, I stood next to a beautiful young bride, and committed that for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, in good times and bad, that I would be faithful to her, faithful to the covenant we made as husband and wife. And indeed, there have been some good times and some bad. There have been some richer, and I'm afraid there's been some poorer too. And there have been plenty of sickness, but a lot of good health. There's been some hopes and dreams that have come true, some fears that have been realized, and many prayers answered. We have laughed and celebrated some really wonderful times together, and we've also held each other in silence in some really hard times. There have been a lot of frustrations, disappointments, but also lots of joy and contentment, because all of those ups and downs, that's just what life looks like, right? It's not all joyful and happy and exactly the way you pictured and planned it to be. But we've just been doing life together through the ups and downs for the last 31 years. We have persevered together through all of that by God's good grace, because we entered into a covenant those 31 years ago. Well, God had entered into a different kind of covenant with Abraham back in Genesis. It was hundreds of years prior to what we find in Deuteronomy 29. The covenant was expanded then at Sinai when he gave the people the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law, like we studied last Sunday. But now, as a new generation of Abraham's descendants prepared to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land, there was cause for renewing the covenant, the communal covenant with Israel. And that covenant renewal began with recounting all that God had done for them. Look with me in our text in Deuteronomy 29, verse number 1. It said, "These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land.'" He's referring, of course, to the plagues that came upon Egypt. "The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear." And now Moses, kind of speaking for the Lord here, says, "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." And then Moses continues and says, "And when you came to this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Now remember, throughout our summer message series, we're taking this very broad overview look at the Old Testament history of Israel, and we're learning along the way from how God interacted with his people as he used them to make his name known and to kind of set the stage for the Messiah to come. So far, we've explored already a communal call to bless the world as we make him known, and then we've seen how we're to face obstacles together in faith as a community of faith. Last Sunday, we homed in on the importance of character as a community of faith, that as we follow God's commands, we reflect his own character. Well, today our attention turns to how the people of God lived as a covenant community. And we'll see also the important role of covenant renewal for us as we follow the Lord together. We'll talk more about that application for us as we near the end of the message. But before we get there, we're going to walk through how Moses kind of prepared the people of Israel for coming to this point of covenant renewal. First, Moses reminds the people of their past. In fact, he points them to a reflection on their redemption. Reflection on your redemption, we might say, in verses 2 and 3. Because in those two verses, Moses is reminding the people of Israel about the time when the Lord redeemed them out of Egyptian slavery. He spoke in verse 3 about the signs and wonders. Those were part of how God redeemed them. It was their deliverance from a life without the Lord. Maybe you remember that after those 10 commandments, the 10th, it was that 10th and final plague when the blood of the lamb was applied to their homes. And that's how God brought his people out of Egypt into a new life of walking with the Lord. And it's a pretty clear picture for us of our own deliverance from a life of sin, because we were on a road to destruction until the gospel of Jesus Christ through the blood of the Lamb, and we're talking about the Lamb of God here, rescued and redeemed us from our slavery to sin. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he died in our place. He paid the penalty of our sin. He paid the debt that we owed. He took our punishment upon himself so that we could be delivered, redeemed from sin's consequences. And Scripture tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin. Because you see, like we quoted a moment ago, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He was talking about that because of our deliverance, our redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Even you, this very day, you can call upon the name of the Lord in faith, believe in the gospel message, trust Jesus for your salvation, and God promises to deliver you, to redeem you from that life of bondage to sin. He promises eternal life in him and an eternal home in heaven. And man, we'd love to talk with you about that today, how you can be delivered, how you can be redeemed from sin, how you can have a story reflecting on God's redemption. Now, before we move on from there, I think it's important we highlight a feature of verse number 1, because there in our text, it refers to the covenant made at Horeb. Now, that's Mount Horeb. It's just another name for Mount Sinai, the same place where Israel received the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law from God himself. Now, when the covenant was established with the people of Israel there at Horeb, it was confirmed in a ceremony with burnt offerings. That is, there were blood sacrifices that confirmed the covenant between God and the people. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. But notice as we get over here to Deuteronomy 29, and he's going to be talking, we didn't read through the whole chapter, but if we did, we'd see he's talking about renewing the covenant, but there's no mention of new sacrifices being offered. In fact, you could read the rest of this chapter and on and find that the covenant renewal did not involve new sacrifices. That blood of the covenant had already been shed. It was already applied back at Mount Horeb. And we find that highlighted again in Hebrews chapter number 9, there in verses 18 through 22. Now, we're not reading those additional passages, but you may want to go back and study that on your own later to get a better grip on that. Exodus 24 and Hebrews chapter number 9. The point is, at this covenant renewal, it wasn't about establishing a new covenant, and so there was no need for blood to be shed again. And I say that's important because it's a picture for us to show that covenant renewal with God, what we're talking about this morning, we're not talking about anyone getting saved again. You don't need the blood of the Lamb applied to your sin again. Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient once for all. Your deliverance and redemption from the eternal consequences of sin is a one-time event. When you repented of that sin and trusted Jesus as your Savior, you were saved forever. The salvation that we know in Christ is completely dependent upon Christ. And I'm going to tell you, He hadn't faltered since that day that you trusted Him. And so your salvation is secure in Him. I'm telling you this morning that once you're saved, you'll never lose that salvation in Jesus Christ. He forgave you. He declared you to be righteous in His sight, and He made you His redeemed child of God. But as we reflect on our redemption, it just may be that you need a covenant renewal today. That is, maybe you need to commit yourself to Him again. Maybe you need to kind of get back into that life of really walking with Jesus. Maybe you need to return to living according to the Word of God and spending time in His Word and time in prayer and holy living in a life of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's no need for Jesus to save you again. The first time was enough, but you may need Jesus to receive you back unto Himself, to walk alongside of Him again, to walk in His ways once more, because you've kind of stepped away from that. Maybe the Lord is bringing you to a place of covenant renewal today. Well, we look back to our text and notice secondly here, Moses reminds them of God's supernatural supply all along the way. Supernatural supply. Now, Moses is going to point them back to consider how God had been faithful to His covenant over these last 40 years. Through all the highs and the lows of multiple generations, God had never failed them. In fact, look back at verse number 5 and see what that says. He said, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. For 40 years in the wilderness, neither their clothes nor their shoes wore out. I'm telling you, that's supernatural supply. Now, I am a lot like many men who are known to, you know, keep our clothes a little bit longer than we probably should, all right? A little longer than our wives prefer us to. Certainly longer than fashion styles would suggest, right? I mean, any guys, gals, y'all know what I'm talking about. Men tend to hang on. I mean, that shirt, it might have a few holes in it, but it's still getting the job done. No reason to get rid of that, right? Those shoes aren't worn out. It doesn't matter that they're 20 years old. We'll just keep on wearing those. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here, though. God did something special, something supernatural for the Israelites. He preserved their clothes during this wilderness journey. It wasn't something that, like they were being stubborn, like most men perhaps are. It was, in fact, nothing short of supernatural, as God supplied for their physical needs. Commentator Doug McIntosh said it this way, that Israel wore on their backs and on their feet the proof of God's faithfulness. I might need to say that again. Israel wore on their backs and on their feet proof of God's faithfulness. Now, you and I may not be able to claim a pair of shoes that hasn't worn out after 40 years of daily wear across the desert wilderness, but we can certainly recognize how God has supernaturally supplied all our needs along the way. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen? Anybody? Amen? All right. God's been good, right? Look at verse number 6. He goes on here and he says, you have not eaten bread and you have not drunk wine or strong drink that you may know that I am the Lord. Now, at first glance, you first read that, and it sounds kind of like he's rubbing it in a little bit. Like, hey, pay attention to what you haven't had all these 40 years. Like, was this some sort of punishment from the Lord that they had to do without bread to eat and wine to drink? No, let's understand the context. Remember, they were a nomadic people at this point. I mean, they've been journeying across the Sinai Peninsula in the desert wilderness for decades on end. There was simply no way for them to work the land and have a harvest of grain for bread or to have a harvest of grapes for wine. And so they could not eat bread or drink wine because they had no way to cultivate those things. Instead, and this is what Moses is pointing them to, instead, God provided for them supernaturally with literal manna from heaven. I mean, their experience is where we get that term in the first place. Manna from heaven every day. It was their perfect nutrient for daily living, and it just showed up every morning. God just put it there for them. He supernaturally supplied for them, and he provided it in perfect supply. Everyone had enough. No one had leftovers. Every day it was exactly what they needed. Not only that, although they couldn't cultivate grapes and drink wine, God supernaturally provided water from rocks. Like, I don't even know how that works, but this was God's amazing way that he chose to supply his people with water to drink. He told Moses, take that staff that's in your hand, go over there and hit that rock. And man, water just poured out in abundance, enough for an entire nation of 2 million or so to drink from. So Moses actually is not rubbing it in here in verse number 6. He's not pointing out what you guys missed out on. Instead, when he said you couldn't eat bread and you couldn't drink wine, he was celebrating with them. He was calling them to remember and to recognize that God had supplied for them all along the way. And there's a lesson for us in that. That instead of looking at what you don't have as if you've missed out, focus instead on how God has been good and faithful, how he's provided for you all along the way. I think you can see the application for us, how that we can look back over this journey of faith, whether that for you has been a long many years or maybe it's been only a short time that you've known Jesus as Savior. But however long that's been, you can look back and see how God's been faithful. We can recognize, we can remember how he has supernaturally supplied for us along the way. And that supply has come just among the regular daily living of life. Good days and rough days. For Israel, there were some highlights during those 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, some cherished memories that they were going to cling to. But there were plenty of lowlights, difficult times as well. Doesn't that sound a lot like our lives? As we walk with the Lord, there are some highlights and there are some lowlights. I mean, at times they walked close to God, and then at other times they kind of stepped away into sin. That sounds a little familiar. They gave generously, I mean sacrificially, to build the tabernacle. So much so that Moses had to restrain the people from giving. Hey, let me tell you, that hadn't happened at First Hurst yet, all right? We're not restraining anyone from giving this morning. I just want you to know, all right? But they turned around from that, and they would grow dissatisfied with God and what he provided, and they complained against him. At times, they enjoyed abundant blessings. At other times, they wallowed in doubt and despair. This sounds a lot like us. They rebelled. They went through weird seasons of change, and they knew what defeat felt like, but they also experienced unexpected victory. You see, it was a lot like us on our journey of faith. There were good times. There were joyful celebrations. There were times walking close to God, and there were also times of rebellious sin. They knew some lean times of total dependence, and they knew some seasons of abundance. There were desperate moments of fear and complaint, and there were other moments of comforting trust. Some days felt like defeat, and other days were marked by victory. But through it all, just like in our lives, the unchanging God was always faithful to his covenant with them. He brought his people through as he supernaturally supplied for them all along the way. And we could say the same thing about our own lives, that through the ups and the downs, through the highlights and the lowlights, God has always been faithful. Amen, church? He's always been good. He's always brought us through with his supernatural supply of all that we need. Well, there's one more place that Moses took the people of Israel in their memories before he laid out the covenant renewal for them. He reminded them of God's recent provision beyond the promise. provision beyond the promise. It's in verses 7 and 8. He said in verse number 7, and when you came to this place, like, look at where you are now. I mean, we've been talking about where we've been for the last 40 years, but look at where you are today. And he reminded them of the victory they had recently experienced over Sion and Og. Now, to understand that, as the people of Israel were approaching the promised land from the east side of the Jordan River, they encountered unexpected enemies in Sion and Og. These were kings, and they didn't want the Israelites to pass through their territories. In fact, Moses approached them very diplomatically and asked for permission for them just to march through. That's all they wanted to do, was march through the land. Not only did they say no, Sion and Og both sent their armies out against Israel. And yet God gave them deliverance. Israel defeated those armies and then took possession of their lands. The territories they simply wanted to pass through suddenly became their own. Now, these were lands outside of the promised land that they'd imagined and heard about their whole lives. They were planning for the promised land on the west of the Jordan River. But here, before they even crossed the Jordan, God gave them even more than they expected. In fact, of the 12 Israelite tribes, 2.5 of them settled there on the east side of the Jordan River, Reuben and Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, as we read about in verse number 8. Their men would continue on to help Israel with the conquest of the promised land, but their allotment of land would fall on those areas, in those areas beyond the Jordan, because God gave them provision even beyond the promise. And I dare say that's a pretty honest evaluation of our own lives as well, that God has provided even more than he's promised. Not that we've conquered lands like Israel did, but as we look back to our redemption and how God has supplied for us all along the way, we can see that when we came to this place, even where we are now, God continues to provide even more than he's promised. I mean, Jesus promised, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you need will be added unto you. He said in another place that he'd supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But I'm telling you, he provides even beyond those promises. God has been so, so good to us. He's given and given and given, and he's poured out just manifold blessings upon us so far beyond what we deserve. I'm afraid it's far beyond what we even recognize. And I know it's beyond the level of our gratitude. Now, remember in all of this, Moses was preparing the people's hearts for the covenant renewal. He was reminding them where they'd been and what God had done in order to move them to rededicate themselves to the Lord, to renew the covenant. Verse 4 is a really important part of that. I want to focus on it for a moment. There's kind of this play on words in verse number 4, because in verse 2, he had said, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes." Verse 3, he talked about the great trials that your eyes saw. But then you come to verse number 4, and he said, "But to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear." Now, wait a second. He said, "You have seen with your own eyes." He talked about what your eyes saw God doing, but you don't have eyes to see. Sounds like Moses is contradicting himself here, but actually he's telling them, guys, it's been right there in front of you all along. You just haven't opened your eyes to see the hand of the Lord at work in your life. The unseen hand of God has been moving and working and providing and protecting and overshadowing and blessing and guiding you all your days. If you only had eyes to see it, maybe you haven't recognized God's grace at work in your life. Oh, if you just had eyes to see. An old song from decades gone by says this: "If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love him so." What he's brought you from and what he's brought you to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you could just see what Jesus has brought me from to where I am today. Like the people of Israel, God brought them from a life of slavery in Egypt. He brought them across the Red Sea on dry land. He brought them to Mount Sinai, where he laid out these guidelines for how they could live in the blessing of the Lord. He brought them through all the ups and the downs, the highs and lows, the celebrations and the sorrows of 40 years wandering in the desert wilderness, and he faithfully brought them right to the brink of the promised land. And Moses is telling the people here in verse number 4, if you just had eyes to see where he's brought you from to where you are today, I wonder, do you have eyes to see where Jesus has brought you from to where you are today? Because if you're a saved child of God, he's brought you from that life of slavery to sin. He's brought you from that road to destruction. He's brought you from that lonely, empty life without Christ and without hope. He's brought you through the hardships and challenges and obstacles over the decades. He's brought you through all the highs and the lows of this life. You know, after 31 years of marriage, Stephanie and I are not in the same place where we were all those years ago. We don't look the same, and we don't feel the same either. We're at that stage in life where we make old people noises trying to get off the couch. You know what I'm talking about? Like, ugh, you know, that's just getting up. We don't feel the same. But I'm telling you, if you could see where Jesus brought us from to where we are today, if you could see what he's brought us through, because I'm not going to lie, sometimes it's been tough. There have been arguments and frustrations of trying to really understand one another. There have been unwelcome medical diagnoses. There have been challenges of parenting and unexpected curveballs that have come up at us. There's been a lot. But still, when I consider where he's brought us from and what he's brought us through and what he's brought us to today, I'm telling you, I'll double down on my commitment to Stephanie, my covenant to be to her a true and faithful husband so long as we both shall live. And if we together as a community of faith could just see and recognize where God has brought us from when he redeemed us, his faithful guiding hand and supernatural supply all along the way, if we could see his provision that goes beyond the promise, then we would be prepared to renew our covenant commitment to him, to double down on walking with Jesus. If we had eyes to see, we'd be prepared for covenant renewal. That covenant renewal is similar, I think, to what we might call rededication. It's a term that maybe is more familiar to us, although one we don't use all that much anymore for some reason. But the truth is, many wander away from a life of faithfully following Jesus as Savior and Lord. Maybe you have wandered away from that life. Maybe you're that one who's kind of stepped away from church altogether, maybe because of complacency, maybe because you got hurt. Maybe it's just open rebellion. And frankly, you're not even sure why you're here today. Or you may be one who wears a pleasant smile and dutifully sits in your customary seat every Sunday morning. You lift hands and you sing loud, but you know it's just a cover for a lifestyle of sin. Maybe the Lord has brought you here today because you need to see. You need to be reminded of what Jesus brought you from and what he's brought you through to where you are today. There's a bunch of us probably that need some covenant renewal today. We need some rededication. This morning, as the Lord is calling, as the Holy Spirit is moving in this place, let us be those who respond in obedience and faith. Let's renew the covenant today. Father, thank you so much for your word and your grace, and thank you for what we learn here in this very passage about covenant renewal and how it is that when we see what you've brought us from and what you've brought us through and what you've brought us to, God, we're called to double down on following Jesus, to renew the covenant, to recommit ourselves. And it may be that there's one here this morning who has never done that in the first place. They've never begun to follow you. They've never trusted you as Savior. Almighty God, may this be the day you call them unto yourself, that they would respond in faith to the gospel of your grace. They would trust Jesus as Savior today. It may be that there are some of us here today that we've kind of wandered into that life of sin, and we've rationalized it and decided, well, it's okay. But you're calling us today to renew the covenant, to step away from that sin and begin walking with you again. Father, this morning, there may be those that they're following hard after Jesus. But you would just call them today with a heart of gratitude and thanks to say, I praise God for what He's brought me from and what He's brought me through and where He's brought me to today. And I just want to double down on my commitment to follow Jesus, to walk with Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Spirit of the living God, I believe you want to do business in our hearts today. You want to work in this place, and so we invite you to do just that. And may we respond freely, openly, and obediently as you call us today. All this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.